some cultural issues and myths that we tend to attribute to God. The only problem is that though we might think God said those things, God never really did say those things. And so we've been kind of clearing some things up. And today we're tackling with the idea of belief, that it doesn't matter what you believe. I mean, it's such a popular, relevant, commonplace conversation for us to believe that it doesn't matter what you believe about God as long as you're sincere, that it doesn't matter what your faith is, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe about some kind of God or any kind of God, as long as you're sincere in that belief, then it really doesn't matter. But that sounds good. It feels good, but that is so far from the truth. We say that God is a loving God, and because God is a loving God, that all faiths, that all conversations, that all gods, all roads lead to heaven. We have all of these sayings and these conversations that they sound good and feel good, they're true-ish, but really what it is, it's a feel-good theology that isn't necessarily true. You know, we hear people say, well, I'm a good person. I'm better than most. You ever attend a funeral and you hear somebody speak of their loved one or their relative and you're scratching your head yourself because you know who they were and you know how they lived and you know that there was just never really any fruit or any conversation or anything about God in their life. Now, you're not here to judge, but when you hear the conversation that goes like this that say, you know, Aunt Ruthie, she's in a, or Aunt Marjorie or Aunt Mildred, she's in a better place right now. And there was never any evidence or any conversation around a relationship with God, never any kind of fruit. And we make those statements. What we're saying there is an automatic assumption that it doesn't matter what you believe, all roads lead to heaven. So we say things like that to comfort friends and to comfort family members. Or we say, oh, you know, Grandpa, he's looking down on us right now. And we had no idea about their faith or anything, but we automatically make that statement. Now, I just want to say this. I don't necessarily want my grandfather looking down on me at all places at all times because there's some things in my household that he doesn't necessarily need to see. I mean, that might be both a comforting thing and a discomforting thing. But do you follow where this is going today? That we oftentimes throw those things out there, and we mean well. We want to love on our friends and family, but those often lead to a place where it says that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. I remember in high school, my psychology class, I was about to say professor. We don't call them professors in high school. That was a while ago. My teacher in high school, the psychology teacher, also taught an extracurricular class called On Death and Dying. And I kid you not, she believed in reincarnation. And so this was like the talk of the school. Everybody said, you need to take her class because she has got some ideas that are way out there. And I want to help you understand why I have such an issue with the feline creation. You're going to discover this right now. Because what she believed is that she lost her sister early on, and she would believe and teach this in her classes, and it was known throughout the school that she believed that her sister is now her house cat. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. She believed that her sister came back as her house cat, and that her house cat is her sister. And I got to tell you, I've been having nightmares about cats ever since. But this was her faith. This was her belief. She believed in reincarnation. And it freaked me out, and it freaked out a lot of students. And so today, I'm walking around the house, and I got two cats. I'm wondering if they're my grandparents. I mean, I don't know. So you kind of got to figure out in your mind, you know, does it matter what we believe? Or as long as we're sincere, it doesn't really matter. And I remember that conversation so vividly in high school, processing through the idea of reincarnation. And she was so sincere that you just wanted to love her, and you wanted to love her anyways, but you wanted to love her even more, and you wanted to believe what she was believing to be true, but you knew in your heart of hearts that she might have just been a few bricks shy of a full load. Her elevator maybe didn't go to the top floor. She might have been a few tools short of a tool chest. Whatever you might want to call it. I don't know. And that was the conversation that happened. And she was so sincere. And you wanted to believe that that was true, but you knew in your heart of hearts that it just probably wasn't going to be true. Today in our culture, watch this now. Today in our culture, by the way, so now you understand my concern with cats for the rest of my life. But today in our culture, today, is a basic spirituality is not controversial. I want you to hear this. A basic spirituality, a basic faith in God is not all that controversial. Most people believe in God. Look at sports events in John 3:16 hanging up in the end zone, and you hear people at the Grammys giving credit to God when they're talking. You even get on talk shows and you hear people talk about spirituality. Even Whoopi on The View, God bless her soul. I mean, she'll talk spirituality with you. They'll get out the crystals and they'll talk about human spirituality and things of that nature. They might even mention God and it'll be calm and there'll be no controversy, but you bring up the name of Jesus Christ and all of a sudden ladies are going bat crazy and their fingernails grow and they're throat punching people and they're flipping out and freaking out. I mean, when you mention the name of Jesus Christ, people go crazy. I mean, it's not necessarily faith. It's not necessarily a belief in God. It's not even necessarily spirituality that people have a problem with. Let's just be honest. People have a problem with Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ is absolutely offensive. And so you want to watch a calm conversation about spirituality go nuts in about 3 seconds? You accelerate it with the five-letter word, Jesus. And you bring in Jesus and people go nuts. It's absolutely controversial in this world today to talk about Jesus Christ. Yet here's the funny thing. Few will debate the existence of Jesus Christ. Few will debate it. People believe that Jesus existed. They believe he was a good man or a good prophet or a good person. Even Jesus' detractors back 2,000 years ago did not debate his existence. They believe that he was alive, that he was a real person. And absolutely, people love his teaching. I mean, nobody objects to the teaching of Jesus Christ. He helped the poor. He tells you to love your neighbor. He says to offer grace and forgiveness to people. I mean, most of what Jesus taught has made it into our courts, our classrooms, and our systems, even though we don't give credit to God anymore for those things. You see, people don't hate the teachings of Jesus. They don't discount the fact that he existed. So why do people get so upset when it comes to that five-letter word of Jesus, Jesus Christ? And it's this scripture verse. It is the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ, and here it is. It's in your bulletins up on the screen. John chapter 14, verse 6, and here's what he says. I am the way, Jesus says. I am the truth, Jesus says. I am the life. Now watch this one. No one comes to the Father except through me. People go nuts over this claim. Jesus Christ claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, there is no other way to God except through me. There is no other way to eternity and heaven, in heaven someday, and heaven here on earth. There is no other way. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And by the way, it's important what you believe, because what you believe will determine how you live. It'll determine how you live. Pow, there it is, right there and then. Jesus sets himself apart from all other religions, all other beliefs, all other systems of thinking that's out there about the afterlife, about this world. And in a world of inclusion, and in a world of intolerance, which we live in right now, this is an exclusive claim. I just shared with you last week that we worship at the altar of tolerance, not tolerating people for who they are, but tolerating all behavior and all thoughts as equal. And when we live in that realm and somebody comes and makes an exclusive claim like this, well, that's when we get bat crazy. That's when the fingernails start to grow and the hair grows out. And we just become just angry about this whole thing because he claims to be the only way to God, to heaven, to truth, to the answers in life. And it's absolutely controversial. And it's absolutely what sets apart Christ and Christianity in a massive way from any other faith or any other systems of belief. Now, I just want to share with you that there is some truth, and there's some beautiful aspects about world religions. But what you have to understand about world religions is they're not all the same, and this is a misnomer. We believe that all world religions are the same. I'm going to give you like the fire hose, drinking from the fire hose crash course version of some of the major world religions, and here goes. We're going to tackle Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslims, and New Age stuff, okay? And so in Buddhism, let's just get this myth out of the way that all world religions are not the same. I'm not here to say anything else about them other than they're just not the same. So watch this. In Buddhism, they believe that there is no God, there is no finality to existence, and there are just countless rebirths. In other words, Buddhists do believe in the concept of reincarnation. I had a great conversation with a young lady at the Tokyo airport in Japan on our way to a predominantly Buddhist nation, which is Vietnam. Vietnam is 80% Buddhist. And I noticed she was a resident of Vietnam, so I struck up a conversation with her and started talking to her and asking her about her faith. And she shared with me that the goal in her life is to live the best life she can so she can have a better second life. And when she comes back at that second life, to live the best way that she can so she can have a better third life and fourth life. In other words, it's ongoing. There's no finality to it. You're constantly working, trying to strive to be a good enough person to get a good enough life the next time around. And I stopped her for a second and I said, how would it make you feel to know that God created you to love you? He offers you grace. It has little to do with what you do on this earth. And there's finality in heaven someday in the name of Jesus Christ. And she said, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about that. So in Buddhism, there is this belief that there is no finality. It's just a constant process of reincarnation and rebirths. Now in Hinduism, which by the way, Buddhism and Hinduism are vastly different from one another, God is impersonal. You connect to God through idols, statues, and even in some cases, animals. I know cows are a very sacred thing in Hinduism. But neither of them offer you forgiveness. None of those things offer you forgiveness. There is no supernatural help. In Hinduism, there is only karma. There is only karma. You do good and good follows. There is no personal relationship with God. That's different than Buddhism, which, by the way, is different than our Muslim brothers and sisters as well. In the Muslim world, they worship a personal God, Allah, who is personal, but your standing with this personal God is based on your religious devotion and is based on your works. And oh, by the way, they have a prophet, Muhammad, who's now dead, and you can find his body. He never claimed to be God, and he never claimed to be the Son of God. He never claimed to be a deity. He was just simply, his claim was, a human being, a prophet of Allah. So that's vastly different than Buddhism and Hinduism and also Christianity. But before we get to Christianity, how about New Age? New Age is there is no personal God. There is only a higher consciousness to be attained by being one with nature, by being one with the universe, by being one with our inner self, our inner child, whatever you might want to call it. And so that's kind of a New Age kind of belief. Then you come to Christianity. And in Christianity, there's a personal God. There is finality that is given to us by our connection through his Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed on the cross and offers us forgiveness of sins. It is not based on our religious efforts. It's not based on how good we are, but it is based on the goodness of God. There is God's grace, and there is finality in heaven someday for all of eternity. Or there is also finality someday in eternal damnation for all of eternity. But there is finality. There is no reincarnation. We are given a new life in Jesus Christ here on earth, and that life lasts for all of time. All of time, and grace is given. So do you understand? Let's just knock out this myth for a second. When people say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, any objective person, if they just take a quick scope of the religious practices in our world today, any objective person will look at that and say, you know what, you're right. They're vastly different. They're not the same. So if they're not the same and what we believe matters because it leads to how we live, then ultimately we can't say what you believe doesn't matter. Because not all religions are the same. Not all religions are the same. God never said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. So I just want to ask you to do one thing today. I want to ask you to consider Jesus Christ. Consider Jesus Christ. Don't consider Rolling Plains Church. I'm not asking you to consider the United Methodist Church. I'm not asking you to consider the behavior of Christians because we're hypocrites and we struggle. I'm not asking you to consider me. Because some of you don't like me and some of you like me too much. Don't consider me. I'm asking you to consider. I'm not perfect. Jesus is. I'm not even asking you to consider Christianity today. I'm asking you to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. You might be struggling with your faith. You might be solid in your faith. You might have questions about your faith today. Our work today, this morning, is God asking us to consider his Son, Jesus Christ. And you have to make a decision in your life. No one else can make it for you, not your parents or your grandparents. I've had some great conversations with teenagers in the last month about faith and baptism. And I've said to them, this has to be your faith. It's your decision. It's your choice, not a family member's. And I want you to consider three things about Jesus today, three aspects of Jesus. And the first one is this. Consider the ministry of Jesus. And oh, I believe you're going to be blessed today if you open your heart and your mind and your soul to what God has to say. Consider the ministry of Jesus Christ and why he came to this earth. Let's look in the book of Mark in chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. When the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the sinners, by the way, him is Jesus, and tax collectors, they asked Jesus' disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he on the other side of the railroad tracks? He's supposed to be in this community, not that community. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Well, and he's going to tell you right now, this is why he's come. I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come for sinners. I have come to call the sinners. He came for sinners, and that's the good news because you're one and I'm one. He came for you and me, and he came to help us get life right because we can't do it on our own. He came for those who were despised, and he came for those who were despised and loved us and accepted those who were despised. Those that religion rejected, he came and loved and received in his life. He reached out to the least, the last, and the lost. He was with the social outcasts. He loved to root for the underdog. If he was watching a sporting event, he wanted to know who hasn't won enough, and he'd root for them. Jesus was all about the underdog. He was all about the least and the last and the lost. Consider the woman caught in adultery, and the religious people wanted to stone her, and he said to them, hey, the one without sin, any one of you without sin, you cast the first stone, and then he forgave her sins. He forgave her sins, and people were blown away by that. They were infuriated by that. Consider the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Consider his ministry. Consider what he did. He opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He caused the mute to speak. He touched the untouchable. I want you to understand something. Every time Jesus healed a leper, he touched them first. Now, he could have healed them from a distance, but there's something profound to be noticed about our loving Savior is that before he healed those lepers, he touched them. You want to know why? It's because the greatest gift those lepers could have ever experienced is not to have leprosy eradicated from their body, but it would be to experience human touch again. Because they were ostracized, they were sent out, and not even family members would have anything to do with them, but he touched the lepers, and then he healed them. He turned water into wine. He fed 20,000 people, 5,000 men, and another 15,000 women and children. He raised the dead. He raised Lazarus. He raised he himself, and so his critics, his most staunchest critics, do not question the validity of his miracles, even 2,000 years ago. They just wanted him stopped. They didn't question his miracles. They just wanted him to stop performing them. So consider his ministry. Some of you are miracles. You see miracles in Scripture from 2,000 years ago, but some of you are walking miracles. I mean, some of you are people who have been healed of cancer. You've been healed of heart issues. You've been healed from your past. You've turned away from addictions. You've been healed from financial issues and challenges and soaring debt in your life to now being financially viable because you followed God's principles and Jesus Christ created miracles in your life. I mean, you hear stories all the time of the power of Christ redeeming lost souls and transforming lives that were wayward and going down into the ditch. You've seen Christ redeem people's attitudes, rescue marriages, and do inexplicable changes in people's lives. I mean, Jesus is a walking miracle. My kids caught me petting a cat in our house the other day. And it's only because when I prepped this sermon, I was being reminded, I better be careful. That might be one of my relatives. I better start being nice. And so they caught me petting the cat the other day. And I confess to you that even this man can be changed from the inside out in the name of Jesus Christ. But in all seriousness, I have a personal testimony I want to tell you. We've been told that we would never have children, and out of 150 families, we were picked to be able to adopt Austin and Tana, and then we gave birth to two other children. Erin and I met in Ocean City, New Jersey, when she's from Cleveland and I'm from Dayton, and if God wanted to make things easier, he'd have us meet in Columbus, which is halfway. But I found my bride in Ocean City, New Jersey. Only God could set that up. I was terrified in high school to speak in public. I hated my speech class. I would get sick and nauseated before I'd go to school every single day. I was a social leper. I couldn't talk to anybody. Some of you think that might not have changed. I mean, but I was a social leper. I couldn't talk to anybody. I was afraid of people. When I was in college as a freshman and sophomore, I was bombing out of college and making dumb choices and blowing money and doing stupid things with finances. I was living for myself. And then Jesus became a reality in my life, and then he called me to be a pastor. I have a testimony for you today that Jesus is alive and well. Jesus, you're a walking miracle. You are proof that Jesus is alive and well, that Jesus matters, that Jesus makes a difference. Consider his ministry today. When I go home, I run into some of my old high school classmates, and they say, listen, I heard that you're a pastor. And I say, yes. And they say, I can't believe you're a pastor. Don't you remember high school? Yes, I do. Don't you remember the things you said? Oh, Lord, yes, I do. Honey, take the kids. Go to the toy aisle. Do you remember what you said in high school and the things that you said and the way that you acted? Yes. Even into college? Yes, absolutely. And you're a pastor? And they'll look at me and say, well, I do believe in miracles. And listen, I'm a walking miracle. Some of you, you're walking miracles. Your testimony can never be discounted of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, your testimony of Jesus being in your life is the greatest proof that Jesus has ever existed and the power of God active in our lives. Don't ever forget that. Consider the ministry and the work and the power of God, the one who became a sacrifice for you and for me to make us right with God. The one who came for sinners, the one who didn't come for the healthy, but came for the sick. And so today, I'm a miracle. Today, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. I'm not a better version of the old me. I'm a new person. I've been completely made over. The old is gone, and daily I'm working to be transformed in the life of Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ can do those kinds of things. Consider the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ. Now consider a second thing. Consider the resurrection of Jesus. Consider the ministry of Jesus. Now also consider the resurrection of Jesus. God loves you, but he hates sin. God loves you, but he hates sin. Here's why it matters what you believe, because what you believe will determine how you behave. What you believe will determine how you live, and how you live matters in the name of God. God loves you, but he hates sin. And Jesus was born on this earth without sin. He was perfect in every way, and he went to the cross to take on our sin. And on there, creation did nothing but mock him and beat him and nail his hands to a cross, his feet underneath him, and they just stretched him out on this torturous rack, and they did their worst to him. And while Jesus was on the cross, he gave them his best. While humanity and creation did their worst to Jesus when he showed up on earth. And some of you want to know, hey, listen, maybe I'll believe someday if I come face to face with God. Well, God did that one day, and look what people did to him. God did that one day, and look what people did to him. And so while they were at their worst, humanity was at their worst, Jesus was on the cross dying, and he gave them his best. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And then he said, it's finished. And the earth quaked, and the shutter shuddered, and the earth split, and the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. A Roman soldier converts and gives his life to Jesus Christ. 3 days later, the stone is rolled away. He's dead and buried. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty, and he's gone. In Acts chapter 3:15, love this verse. Watch what Peter records here. Peter says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Amen? We are witnesses of this. Remember we talked about our personal testimonies, our witness? We are witnesses of this. They're saying people witnessed him being dead and being raised from the dead. They were witnesses that he was dead. He did not have a pulse. He was gone from this physical earth. And then they witnessed him being raised from the dead. Being a witness is powerful. Now, some of you in Cleveland, you're thinking, we're all witnesses to LeBron James. Remember, that was the whole thing, you know, his first stint. Now he's back, and we've watched him resurrect the Cleveland Cavaliers organization. But sisters and brothers, that's only a basketball team. Jesus Christ was resurrected for all of eternity, for your sins and for the salvation of this world. And we, as we say, were witnesses to a basketball franchise being resurrected. There were witnesses to Jesus being resurrected from the dead. It's tried and it's true. People were there. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We were witnesses to this. There were three witnesses there that day that saw him, and he appeared to countless other disciples after that day. Now, critics might claim that Roman soldiers stole the body of Jesus and made it look like he had disappeared. Why would enemies of Christ want to do something like that? I mean, enemies of Christ would love to do nothing other than to produce a dead body. In order to prove it was a hoax, they say that maybe the disciples were putting together the greatest scheme of all time, that somehow these disciples were overpowered by, or somehow these disciples overpowered trained Roman soldiers. Somehow these disciples, who were mainly commoners, didn't have college educations, somehow they were able to devise the most elaborate scheme in human history that keeps this thing a secret for over 2,000 years. And oh, by the way, they're not going to gain anything from the lie. The only thing you're going to gain is persecution, martyrdom, and death. Every single one of them, save one, was persecuted, tortured, and eventually martyred. All of them had nothing to gain by keeping this a hoax. And yet for over 2,000 years, there's never been a body that's been produced. God was witnessed to be dead and also to be raised from the dead. He appeared to them. He was alive. Consider the one they call Doubting Thomas. That was his name. It goes down in the annals of history. He's Doubting Thomas, but yet even Thomas began to believe. Even Thomas stopped doubting. The one who was called Doubting Thomas, he believed, and he was martyred for his belief. Did you know that Thomas eventually was martyred for believing in Jesus Christ? What was the change? How could he go from being Doubting Thomas to believing Thomas? Well, because he saw the risen Christ. He had an encounter with him, and when you encounter Jesus Christ, it changes everything. And in that moment, his witness was that he was alive. So consider the resurrection of Jesus. Consider the ministry of Jesus. And lastly, consider the eternal message of Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, verses 22, Paul writes these words, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are." That this is true, it is available to anyone and everyone, no matter who we are. You can put your faith in the Son of God, and if you do that, it makes you right with our Heavenly Father. That is a powerful statement, and He is available to every single person in this world, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've messed up, no matter how much you hated Christianity, or no matter how sick and tired you've been of Christians. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how angry your heart is. It doesn't matter how dark your life has gotten. Anyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ can be made new. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what your struggle is. God can redeem all people. God can redeem even you. You want to know why? Because He redeemed even me. And if God can redeem me, He can redeem anybody. If God can redeem you, he can redeem anybody. There is no sin that God can't redeem, that God can't rescue you from. No challenge, no lifestyle, no place that you've ever been that God can't rescue you from. And when it's Jesus Christ, when it's Christianity, it's Christ plus nothing. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus good works. It's not Christ plus membership in a church. It's not Christ plus putting money in the offering plate. It's just Jesus. That's why I want you to consider Jesus, not Christianity. Sometimes when we consider Christianity, we allow human beings to mess with our views of God. And God said, just consider Jesus. And when you consider Jesus and understand my love through the gift of Jesus in your life, you'll discover the truth and the understanding and the nature of what Christianity is all about. It's not getting rid of our bad stuff in order to find Jesus. It's not getting rid of our evil thoughts in order to find Jesus. It's not getting better at this and that or doing things better or saying things better. You just discover Jesus Christ. And then he begins to change you from the inside out. It is in Christ alone that you have forgiveness for sins. The old is gone and the new comes. And you enter into relationship with him. And that leads you to an abundant life. God has a better life for you, for those of you that are living without Christ. And the problem with religion is it's all about us. It's all about how I perform. It's all about how I strive. It's all about how good enough I can be. And it's all about our own search to find peace and a higher power so our life can be sustained. That's religion. But this isn't about religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. And it's all about a relationship through Jesus Christ who came with the love of God, who came to find you. God has found you. Jesus is knocking at the door. He says, open the door and let me into your life. You don't need to find God. God's right there. He's knocking at your heart and soul. That's why the song says, once I was lost and now I am found. Praise be to God. You see, religion is, if I'm good enough, if I obey God enough, he will love me more and accept me more. A relationship with God realizes that God loves me and accepts me for who I am, and that God can't love you any more for what you do, and God can't love you any less for what you do. You have all of God's love. You can't gain any more of his love. You think with God, well, if I love him back, if I obey his will, that's gonna get me to be loved more. No, we love him back and we obey his will because of his love for us, which never changes. You see, religion is spelled D-O. Religion is spelled do. It's what you do. It's about what you do. It's about how you do it. It's about how you strive and how you live. You see, a relationship is spelled done. D-O-N-E. I want you to say that word with me. Done. Let's say it. 1, 2, 3. Done. Relationship with God is about done. It's about what God did for you in Jesus Christ on the cross. It's about the idea that it is finished, that the victory has been won, and there's nothing more that you need do because it is finished. It's been done, and that is the gospel truth. And it's a truth so glorious, there's no way that anybody could make that up. Who could make up a God? An all-powerful, perfect God who would send his one and only Son to sacrifice on the cross for our sins. A God who could have just eradicated humanity and done away with us, but loves us so much he sacrificed the one thing that mattered to him the most so that we can live and have a relationship with him. Who makes that kind of stuff up? And oh, by the way, that's why it's called the good news. Because it is. It's good news. You have nothing to lose in believing in Jesus Christ, and you have everything to lose if you don't. You have everything to lose if you don't. So today is the day to receive the free gift of salvation, to invite him into your life, to make him Lord, to let him transform you from the inside out, and to give you an abundant life of lasting joy and hope and power on earth while eternal life in heaven awaits you someday. You get a chance to start today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You're only guaranteed this moment and this day. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Don't let anybody else tell you anything different. And don't blow a bunch of hot air to other people about, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe, because it does. God clearly tells us that. It does matter what you believe. God never said those things that it doesn't matter. Your life on eternity and in eternity depends on it. Because what you believe also determines how you behave. And what you believe determines how you live. And how we live matters. Here's a couple of action steps for you. Number one, take a deep look into what you believe. Because it matters. Take a deep look, an honest look. Listen, some of you, you've been coming to church here for 30 or 40 years. Is it possible that you've truly never accepted the grace of Jesus Christ into your life? You've just been reliving with religion for 30 or 40 years. Is it possible? I don't know. I'm not speaking to specific people right now. But just because we've been in church for 30 or 40 years doesn't mean we personally know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that His grace and the blood of Jesus Christ has washed over our sins, that we have assurance. Is there fruit in your life? Is there evidence of the Holy Spirit? Is there love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Pray about that. Think about that in your life. Have you honestly said yes to Jesus Christ? Is He in your life? Take a deep look into what you believe. If you're here for the first time, a returning guest, or you're checking this thing out, and you just know, you're just ready to jump out of the seat, this is the day, and I'd love to pray with you. Pastor Nancy would pray with you afterwards. Secondly, pray hard and show God's love to friends and family who need Jesus. So first and foremost, we need to know without a doubt in our life who Jesus is and be sold out that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we have to do everything in our power, everything that we can, everything short of sin to help people discover Jesus Christ in their life. That's what Paul did. Everything short of sin to help people be led into a relationship with God so they spend eternity in heaven someday. And oh, by the way, live heaven here on earth for the rest of their life. Sharing our faith becomes the utmost importance. Loving people for who they are, coming, connecting, growing, and going, sending people out into this world and being equipped to share our faith and to love people is a way for us to step forward into the life that God has called us. You see, what we believe matters, because what we believe determines how we live. And praise God that God has made it clear. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Amen. I want to invite you into a time of prayer. This is our Garden of Prayer hour.